I'll share with you. But these are the items that Dr. Murray identified as the purpose of the plan. I'm not going to recite all these. You know, the plan is out there. You can look at it. Not surprising. And really, it's about, you know, the byline of the title of the document is a 10-year affordable housing master plan, leading the challenge, sharing the burden. And that's kind of directed both to the county commission and the private sector and all of the cities. So that's what the effort is about. They just talked to you about the community engagement process. One of the bright things, the good news that's happened, and not just in the county, but with many of the cities, is that in 2018, prior to 2018, I had never received more than $250,000 worth of general funding for affordable housing. In 2018, I was given $5 million to start a gap financing program. That was gobbled up and turned into 100 units almost overnight. Since that time, in that six-year period, the board has allocated, as you can see, $123 million for gap financing, which turned into 2,700 units. The good news is, in that second line, the Broward Housing Authority, Housing Finance Authority, which I also serve as executive director, has $100 million a year in bond allocation that we get from the state. It's kind of free money. And unless you have this gap money, the affordable development community won't come in and take advantage of it, because you're still upside down even with low interest rate and tax-exempt bonds. So that gap financing allowed the Housing Finance Authority to issue a whole new tranche of projects for bond with bond finance, and I'll update you with another slide here in a second, which just changed the whole market here as far as the affordable developer builders that were interested in coming to Broward. Then, of course, you had the Florida Housing Finance Corporation, that 2,200 there, their efforts, both in the 9% in the sale and in the other efforts they have. So Walter Duke was kind enough to do this update on what that means in terms of economic impact. Affordable housing doesn't necessarily mean it's bad for the economy. It actually turns out it's good for the economy for the reasons he denotes there. Construction value, temporary jobs, new permanent jobs, and new money that circulates into the economy because people that previously couldn't afford anything other than pay their rent now have some money to spend on other activities. So here is the what has happened with the Housing Finance Authority, and this is just like the past 14 months. Let's see, that's 16 deals and a couple more. So we're closing a bond deal a month in Broward County. And that's usually a project between 100 to 400 units. It's all over the county. I've seen many of you at the ribbon cuttings. This is really good news. And just so happens, when we issue these requests for applications now, one of the things we give significant bonus points for is if you have skin in the game from local government. For every $1 million you get from local government, you get 5 bonus points. We had a project last year, and I won't say the city, but they actually committed $5 million to the project when they submitted to us. That 25 points put them right number one. You know, project's under construction now. Many of you have done that. Many of you have dedicated a land to the deal, etc. So it's not like the cities have been sitting back in the saddle while Broward County's, you know, providing all of this funding. It's been across the board, and we thank you for that. This is just a quick slide I put up there because Broward County is unique in the nation in the number of entitlement cities, which is any community over 50,000. We have 15 plus the county, that's 16. There's maybe 2 or 3 counties in the country that have that many big cities in their county. Orange County, California, and Boston area are one of the other two. Miami-Dade, they've got like maybe 2 or 3, which just means that the bucket split up 16 ways. There's nothing wrong with that, except that not one of us, including the county, from those 3 sources of funding, which total, 430-something million, when you use it on the Sadowski and the SHIP mandated set asides, and then we split our stuff up among the smaller communities, and you do your minor home repair and your purchase assistance, you'll have a couple hundred thousand dollars left to do a gap financing deal. It didn't happen. So that's why that gap financing that the board has put in place is so important. But at the bottom, at the end of the day, that money all turns into affordable units, because even though it's a rental or a home repair or purchase assistance, the affordability period may be 10 or 15 years, unlike the 30 or 50 we're getting for the rental deals, but it's still units in the affordable bucket for a period of time. Y'all are familiar with what's happened in the market in terms of rental rates. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that. Housing prices the same. But we did ask Dr. Murray to break it down by municipality in terms of both single family need and rental needs. And you can pick out, if you can read it, your community there. You know, at the high end, there's a deficiency of 7,000 to 8,000. In the middle, it's around 3,000. Down at the bottom, it's, you know, 1,000 to 500 units. In this case, rental units deficiency. This doesn't list all the cities, but I can tell you there's not a city in the county that doesn't have deficiency in terms of affordable housing need. Nobody has what they need. So the total, close to 150,000 in rental need. This is a very, very kind of sobering graph, and what this shows is the top 10 industries in Broward County by employee count. And you can see what those industries are, but if you look at the median earnings, there's only one that's not a service wage, which is around $40,000 a year, which is what over half of every employee in Broward County is earning 60% of every median income. That's $40,000 a year. That's $20 an hour. You know, we celebrate when we get to $15 or $17 an hour. That's sad. At $20 an hour, people are just living in poverty in our community. We have a $2,500 average two-bedroom rent, and you're earning $40,000 a year. Even before taxes, you've got about $3,300 a month to live on. If you less out $2,500 from that $3,300, you got $800 to live on. I mean, really, these people living in poverty. That's why so many people are living with, they're doubled up, tripled up, living with their parents, doing whatever they can for housing. We're generating a lot of jobs in Broward County. They happen to be in most of these industries. We're a service industry. We continue to be a service industry. We'd love to be Silicon Valley, but you know, it's a slow, tough process. So speeding up here quickly, Dr. Murray recommended three strategies for assisting making some forward progress on affordable housing. Densification, y'all were talking about earlier, and he points out that the areas in the county that already are will have activity centers, the commercial corridors, and particularly the rail corridors, are ripe for additional density, possibly. And there are recommendations further back in the document that ask the Planning Council and all of the cities to take a look at that. None of the recommendations, by the way, in the plan are requirements. The action that we took to the board on Tuesday really was three. One was to accept the plan and direct the administrator to share it with the private sector and all of y'all and ask for your consideration of the ideas in there and any that you may think may well be better than those. Secondly, and this was the probably the only significant action item, it recommended that the Board of County Commissioners amend their current policy on using expired tax increment financing for affordable housing from 50% to 100%. And then the third one was to basically request the Planning Council to look at the issue of focused densification in the county. The legislative issues that we had in the document, and I'm not going to go through all of these recommendations with you. You guys live this all the time. But the recommendations on program and policy were some that you've seen before, some new ones, some that require legislative attention, which is going to be a stretch. But the last piece of the recommendation was talking about performance metrics and measuring what all of the communities and the county are doing annually toward improving affordable housing conditions, whether it's funding, whether it's creating bonus density that can lead to new affordable housing, whatever the strategy and the method is, we're going to be wanting to track that, and probably the Housing Council, which is kind of your peer council, will take on that responsibility, and your staffs will get in about a year this kind of request for information to see how it's going. The last thing I would mention to you is, and this is not a published document, this is not a piece of research. This is what I've done to try and create some light at the end of the tunnel, because it's been so dark for so long in Broward County in terms of affordable housing, and continues to be. But if the board acts on the expired TIF over a 30-year horizon, that will generate between 35 and 40,000 new units. We know where we're at with the state and federal grants, which generates about 750 units a year. That's not going away. We know what our state sale loans and our 9% deal set-asides are. We get a couple a year, about 370 units a year. And then I made some judgments about what Live Local might do. And I very conservatively said, I think that'll generate 500 new units a year. It turns out to be like 16 new units per city for 31 cities. Pretty modest estimate. And the same for the city's fair share. You see that graph that said how upside down, so to speak, all the cities are in the county in terms of the need, another 500 a year, you know, 16 per city. And then the densification issue, the same 500 a year. That turns out to be about 3,000 new units a year. But if you work that forward in 10-year horizon, 34,000 new units, 20-year, 73,000, and over a 30-year horizon, 100,000. So it gets us to that 75,000 number, particularly related to severely cost burden and rental need. And I think it can stem the tide and reverse the tide over a long period of time. The only other couple things I'll mention, and then I'm going to stop, is that when we look at, take the county, for example, the expending of this expired TIF, right now, let's take where I'm at right now, $20 million a year the board allocated, $9 million of expired TIF, $11 million of general fund dollars. That allows me to absorb the $100 million in bond financing. So what do we get out of that? We, over the 6 years that we've been investing in gap financing, it turns out that the per unit subsidy has been about $46,000 a unit. When we started this, the market told us it's going to be $75,000, it's going to be $100,000. And it turns out it's been $46,000 over 2,300 units. I rounded up to $50,000. We do a 30-year zero interest loan on that, so the money is paid back. Much of it is refinanced at the midpoint, but it all is all paid back. So it's a long-term revolving loan fund. But what we require in terms of affordability period now is 50 years. If you take that $50,000 per unit over, because what you're buying is a unit for 50 years, you end up paying $2.73 a day for an affordable unit. Who would not do that? No one would not do that. But coming to the table with $20 million a year out of your general fund, or a couple of billion dollars over a 30-year horizon, even though it's $2.73 per unit per day, is a whole different conversation. So I want to thank all of y'all for the effort that you're putting into it in your own cities. This is really hard work. I've been a city manager. I know what it's like to try and balance service cost with your revenues and your tax base. And you add this kind of challenge into it, it's really, really hard. So thank you for the opportunity and the time. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to address those. And we'll be taking this back, as Commissioner Fisher mentioned, to the board on the 7th, and we'll see where they want to lead us. So thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Stone. Questions? questions, comments for Ralph? Mr. Worthman?
I just want to mention, it's very fitting, my first day back here is Affordable Housing Day. When I was working here, in addition to the other populations needing affordable housing, Commissioner Castillo and I were housing homeless people. And needless to say, that's still the cause and remedy for homelessness, so I've worked with Ralph before. And do now, I very much appreciate what they're doing here in Ground Zero for the affordable housing crisis.
Thank you, Mr. Worthman. Further comments? Excellent report. Thank you very much. We appreciate it. Great job as always. Ms. Blake Boy, anything else?
Nothing further, thank you.
Okay, so again, we will not be meeting in March. We will be meeting in April, and yet to be determined if we have a meeting in May, but we think we'll be able to cancel the May meeting, but we're not positive yet. Anything else for the good of the order? Hearing none?